I'm Carol Sliwa, a senior writer with TechTarget's SearchStorage.com site. Joining me today is Doran Kemple, the CEO of Simplivity, and we're going to talk about hyperconvergence. Doran, do you find that there's confusion in the marketplace today about what constitutes hyperconvergence?
This category is becoming a little more vague. It's not clear what is and what isn't hyperconvergence. Basically, I'd say that there's a narrowing of the definition. And most people believe that hyperconvergence is simply storage inside a server with some scale-out capabilities. And indeed, most of the players in hyperconvergence do just that. They developed a storage technology that runs inside a standard server, and they have some clustered file system. And they're experiencing some level of success, typically selling VDI. What Simplivity does is beyond just the storage capability, and I should say rudimentary storage capability, Simplivity developed very deep technologies that facilitate data protection, that facilitate data efficiency, specifically deduplication, compression, and optimization. But we do that once and forever globally. And the third aspect is our ability to manage remote sites on a very effective, efficient basis on a per virtual machine basis.
What differentiates true hyperconverged vendors from each other?
If you wanted to do a study on the different hyperconvergence solutions in the market, the key is to speak with customers and ask them, what do you use hyperconvergence for? And I think that what you'll find out is that in most cases, people use what they call hyperconvergence for tier two or tier three applications. For example, VDI, I think, is the poster child for hyperconvergence. This is not the case with Simplivity, but in the market, if you look at where do people use hyperconvergence, they typically use it for VDI or other tier 2, tier 3 applications. What do I mean by tier 2, tier 3 applications? Those are typically applications that don't have the typical enterprise tier 1 requirements, such as a very high degree of resiliency and protection, very high requirements in terms of performance and low latency, ability to mobilize data across sites, and also data efficiency requirements. So typically, Tier 1 applications require those capabilities. VDI typically does not. And my sense is if you look at the marketplace, most of the hyperconvergence offerings from very capable companies address VDI use cases. Simplivity's customer base, and we've shipped over 2,000 systems up until now. We've been shipping product for just over 2 years, are centered in two market segments. One is very large enterprises. For example, our customers include one of the five largest telephony companies in the world, one of the five largest consumer electronics companies, one of the five largest media entertainment companies, one of the five largest oil and gas companies. A lot of those companies use our technology in order to run remote offices, and they benefit from the data mobility capability. I think that a more striking example is that we've focused a lot of our effort on what we call mid-market. These are companies that generate less than $2 billion in annual sales. And in that market, according to surveys, 65% of our customers run 100% of their applications only on Simplivity. That is, in my humble opinion, a realization of the vision, whereby all of IT infrastructure runs on x86, runs at cloud economics, because x86 is very inexpensive, but at the same time gets enterprise capabilities. 79% of our customers run SQL, 50% run Exchange, 35% run SharePoint, Oracle, SAP, some cities run 911 applications. And I think that this reality, whereby 65% of customers for Simplivity run everything on their sites, 100% of their applications on hyperconvergence, that means that there's transformation.
Who do you see as your chief competitors in the hyperconvergence space?
Whenever we go to an account, there's always storage. And the number one and two players are EMC and NetApp. So we always run into them. We always run into some backup vendor, and in 90% of the cases, the customer decides that they don't need the backup by a third party, so they're using our advanced data protection capabilities, so you can add them to the list. If the customer is further upmarket and has resources, you're typically going to see a data domain box because they want to dedupe their backups, which we displace as well. If it's a larger customer that has remote sites, we typically they're going to run into Riverbed. If we come into the account with Cisco, which is our very important partner, and we are growing the percentage of the business that we address together with Cisco, then the competition might include some other server vendor. But for the most part, the way that we think about the competition is along the lines that I've discussed. There is probably 15, 20% of the cases where we run into EvoRail and Nutanix. So those are other hyper-converged players. And out of those two, EvoRail and Nutanix, I'd say that out of the 20%, probably mostly Nutanix, very little EvoRail. In fact, VMware is one of our important partners, and we sell together with VMware.
What would you say are the main gaps in your product that you need to address?
We've spent 43 months developing version 1.0 before we launched it. Typically, IT infrastructure companies don't spend more than 24 months because VCs are not willing to fund such long developments. We invested 43 months, so our product is very complete in terms of the core technology. What we now need to do is realize that potential. For instance, we haven't yet released Hyper-V version of our technology. So this is an important capability. And customers ask us to integrate, qualify more application, continue to qualify larger and larger what we call federations. In layperson's terms, you could refer to them as clusters within a site or across sites. So we're continuing to realize the potential of the technology in terms of qualification of different applications, qualification of our technology relative to Hyper-V. Today, we're enabling customers to move data to and from Amazon. So basically, you can run our software on Amazon, and that becomes a storage repository for you. Customers are asking us to do that also with Azure. Today, we allow customers to run our technology on Cisco, or when we sell our own appliance, it runs on Dell, and some customers have asked us to do the same thing with other server vendors such as HP and Lenovo. So we have a very long roadmap in terms of enabling our technology across more platforms. And at the same time, we need to continue realizing the functionality of the product. For instance, there are customers who asked us to deliver more granular data restoration capabilities, single file restore. We just released that. So we're continuing to push the envelope also in terms of functionality.
One of the main knocks on hyperconverged systems is that you can't scale compute and capacity separately. How do you address that?
I think that indeed the ability to scale efficiently is a concern regarding hyperconvergence, the broad category, and different vendors are more or less susceptible to that particular concern. What SimpliVity has done in order to address that are two things. One is that there are different form factors along which we can deliver the product, and that allows you to grow in small increments. Instead of buying a V-block or a large storage array, you can add our small containers as you need them. You don't need to guess what you'll need a year or two from now. So granularity of growth is one critical dimension. The second is that people say, well, what if I want to add only compute? How will you allow me to add more compute given that your storage is in the same container with a compute? Well, in the case of SimpliVity, you can connect any servers that you want, your own servers, not ours, to our hyperconvergence nodes. And by so doing, basically, you're expanding your compute layer without changing your storage layer. In other words, you are able to enhance just compute without the storage. If you want more storage, we have different form factor of storage with compute and different ratios, so you can basically add more storage to compute. But typically in our technology, and this is very interesting and counterintuitive, given that we, I believe, are unique with our data efficiency technology, and that 95% of our customers see data efficiency ratio of greater than 5 to 1. That means that if you have 10 terabytes, you actually have 50. However, 50% of our customers see greater data efficiency. That means that 5 terabytes become 60 terabytes. Storage is almost not an issue. What I would recommend to all hyperconverged vendors is to add the capability, which is technologically complicated, to connect any other servers to the hyperconverged nodes. And in some cases, we've heard some customers suggest, why don't you just offer us storage nodes? We could do that. We haven't seen much demand in the market because in our case, storage is not really a problem. You have typically more storage than you need because all the data is decompressed and optimized.
If there's one thing technology-wise that could hold the hyperconverged vendors back from mass success, what do you think it is?
I think that the public cloud is potentially a risk to all vendors. If somebody were to accelerate the trend of all IT becoming like electricity or like telephony, in other words, it's all a service, and the customers that we call on all tell us, look, we no longer have our own IT. We just get it from Google or Amazon or such players. That would limit our market to a very small number of very large providers. So I think that if that happens, it would slow down the adoption of our technology because we're going to be selling only to very large and very few players. Now, whenever you're assessing risk, there is the impact of the risk, and then there's a question, what's the likelihood? I'd say that the likelihood of that scenario is very low because I think that much of the workload that is going to the cloud is some applications, but not all applications. And I don't see a reality in the next 10 years whereby mid-market and large customers don't keep some meaningful percentage of their IT on-site, and some of it going to the cloud. And by the way, our technology allows people to do just that, move workload to the cloud, bring it back. Today, run on Amazon. In the future, we'll offer other cloud providers.
Within how many years do you think a hyperconverged infrastructure will be the norm at a majority of organizations?
5 years from now, 70% of the mid-market runs everything on hyperconvergence. And at the very high end of the market, I think it's going to move slower because they have more political and also more complicated tests. But at the very high end of the market, 5 years from now, 80% of Robo runs hyperconvergence. I'd say that 100% of Tier 2, Tier 3 applications, I shouldn't say 100, I should say 80% because they're always laggards. So 80% of Tier 2, Tier 3 in the enterprise runs on hyperconvergence. And the Tier 1 applications are probably going to require more time. So I think the Tier 1 applications, 5 years from now, I'd say that 50% of them run on hyperconvergence. And it's probably going to be a brand of hyperconvergence that has a lot of flash. Not necessarily all flash, but a lot of flash. So that's where I think we're going to be 5 years from now. That means that 5 years from now, this is going to be a foregone conclusion.
Thanks, Doran, and thanks to everyone who listened to our podcast on hyperconvergence.